Welcome to Your Financial Advocate with Greg DuPont from DuPont Wealth Solutions. As a practicing advisor and attorney, Greg teaches pre-retirees how to reduce debt and taxes and save with less risk so they have more spendable income and plan their way to a better life. Join us for this journey where Greg draws on years of experience and guest experts to help listeners achieve more spendable income for retirement.
So my guest today is Lindsay Troxell of Our Coaching Initiative. And Lindsay is kind of a coach to coaches, especially in this space with regard to financial advisory and the role that we play in our clients' lives. You know, I've learned over my 15 years of doing this that it is more of a counselor. You know, when I started practicing law, I really embraced the attorney and counselor at law kind of thing. And when I started going into the finance thing, I thought that I'm not sure, Lindsay, if it's my right side of the brain or left side of the brain, whichever one is the logic one was supposed to control, but it isn't. And so as we're dealing with this, I'm so glad that Lindsay agreed to take some time to share with us some of her stories and her experiences helping people through this transition, because this can be a real traumatic time for people. And the advisors that are working with consumers as they try to transition from a work life to a retirement life, they really need to be aware of some of these things. So Lindsay, thank you for being with us today. And if you just take a moment and share a bit of your story.
Sure. Well, Greg, thank you so much. I love having this conversation about that transition into retirement specifically, but really the idea of how can you help an individual, a human that has all of these messy emotions, navigate through life. So I'll tell you a quick story, you know, how I got here into this moment. I've actually been in financial services for over 20 years. I started as a financial advisor, but just a year ago, I launched my own business, Our Coaching Initiative, and we work with financial advisors that really care about that human side of the conversation. And so the catalyst for my business came from working with a specific advisor who had a client come to him and say, you know, you've done a phenomenal job helping me figure out the fact that I actually can retire and that the numbers look good, but you missed an opportunity to help me figure out what the heck I'm going to do in retirement and how I'm going to make that transition from an emotional standpoint. You know, I'm leaving part of my identity behind. What does this next step look like for me? And she said to him, you kind of missed an opportunity here. And it would be really great if you would incorporate more of this like coaching element into your practice and help other people that you're working with that transition. Thus, he came to me and the whole idea was born that we could marry the whole retirement coaching alongside of financial advising to give an individual a richer experience. So that's kind of how I got here.
You know, we tend to fall toward the technical, whether we are lawyers or financial advisors or humans, because we don't want to get into the soft spaces. And as this industry writ large, the financial advisory industry, seeks ways to deliver value to their relationship, they really do need to go into this soft space.
Yeah,
and people don't pay for psychologists anymore, right? Unless they got real problems. And for many people, that this relationship between them and their money, there's so much packed into that, so many stories packed into that. And as you've worked with people trying to help them unpack that, maybe I'll use myself as an example. Maybe we can work off of that. You know, many times I find myself in a conversation with a client who says, you know, I don't have that big of a dream for retirement. You know, I'm ready to retire. I'm at the finish line. And you start asking them, well, what's that look like to you? And they really can't get free to visualize what that really looks like.
Yeah.
How do you help the consumer try to give themselves a license to say, hey, I'm free. I can really think. I don't have to use the same standards that I've used for my vacations, for example.
Yeah.
I'm able to liberate myself a little bit. How do you help them through that?
You know, I really start with understanding the core emotions that somebody is experiencing when they think about the idea of retirement. And it's very telling. You know, if you ask the question, what are your thoughts about retirement? When you think about retirement in that way, how does that make you feel? Or in general, working your way backward, what are some of the core emotions that you're experiencing? When you are experiencing that emotion, what are some of the thoughts that are coming up for you? And you'll get a whole range of thoughts and feelings that are coming up for folks. So it's such an individual experience. You've got to go there first. To just apply some sort of blanket assumption about what somebody's experiencing and how they're thinking about retirement, it's not a cookie cutter one size fits all. However, I will tell you that for individuals that are having a hard time dreaming, I typically see a layer of exhaustion as a core emotion that they're experiencing. And when you dig into that emotion of exhaustion, you know, I'm just feeling exhausted. And if you're feeling exhausted, the last thing that you want to be doing is thinking about bigger dreams and what this might mean, right? Because you're just feeling so tired. I had this very conversation with a woman that I'm working with where she was actually retiring as a financial advisor. And she's like, I know that there's supposed to be something next for me. I'm just so tired. And when we dug into it, it was the idea of doing something similar to what she's been doing up to this point. Not that she didn't love it, but she was ready to be done. And so once she realized that she wasn't actually physically tired and exhausted, it was more of a mental and emotional exhaustion that she was carrying around, thinking that it had to look similar to what it's looked like up to this point in time. Once she was able to let that go, she was then able to dream about what she wanted her second act to look like. And it doesn't mean that you have to start a new business or go in and get another career and keep on going. It could be something like traveling the world. Maybe you're writing a book. Maybe you're spending more time with family. But if you're feeling exhausted, it's so hard to dream.
Yeah, that puts me on a tangent, which is always fun.
Love tangents.
You know, I tell all the younger people I talk to, and I'm 58, so I'll take license with who's younger or not. But because I'm turning into a grumpy old man, but that's my story.
A curmudgeon.
Exactly. But I tell them all that we need as a society to embrace the fact that the rules of the game are changing. Mm-hmm. You know, the old retirement at 65, 66, 67, whatever you want to call it, is not in the cards for people in their 30s. It's going to be later. We are biologically living longer. Mm-hmm. If we don't do something stupid and get hit by a bus or what have you. And so we need to plan our lives differently. Mm-hmm. And so when you talked about people just being tired, mm-hmm. that to me is a great jumping off point to, you know, how would you coach a younger person on, you know, how to protect against that, how to keep things fresh, knowing that where their parents had called a 40-year work life, they're mm-hmm. going to have a 60-year work life. And you know, you said second chapter, that kind of stuff. And that's where I always come down to, is looking to new challenges, new experiences. And it's easy for me because I'm an entrepreneur. I'm out able to create my own future that way. But I'm not in the grind of a 9-to-5, corporate setting. How do you have any guidance, any insight, thoughts that you'd like to share on that?
Yeah, you know, I really think it's about managing your energy. You know, if we think about time as being one of our most valuable resources, we all have the same amount of time in a day, right? So it's kind of an equalizer. We might use that time differently, but the way that some people have more capacity to do the things that they love for longer is by managing their energy. And so that really comes down to four different areas. It comes your physical energy, your emotional energy, your mental energy, and your spiritual energy. So like, if you think of it in terms of a pyramid, you've got your physical energy at the bottom, you're eating, you're moving, you're sleeping, right? And that allows you to create more quantity of energy throughout the course of the day to do the things that you want to do. But if we don't have that foundation in place, then we're really going to struggle. And then that next run up is that emotional energy. And this is really about the quality of the energy that you have throughout the course of the day. You know, are you reactive? Are things happening to you or are things happening for you? Being able to really understand where it is that you're taking action from, right? If you know that you're taking action from your emotions, you have a higher quality emotional capacity. Then you've got your mental energy, right? And that's the focus of your energy. So being able to look at what it is that you want to be working on, where you want to direct your energy throughout the course of the day, how mentally fit you're staying. And then at the top, you've got your spiritual, and that's really the force of your energy. So, you know, being able to direct yourself, we grow from the bottom up. We create more capacity from the bottom up, but we become extraordinary and we live a life that we truly desire by focusing top down. And so I think it comes down to this idea of not just lifespan and how long we're living, but more of this health span. Are we staying healthy and energized by filling up our cup and understanding what drives us, or are we depleting ourselves? Are we not giving enough recharge time, right? You've got to have stress and recovery, but we constantly are stressing ourselves and we're not refilling our cup. We think that refilling our cup might mean like going on an all-inclusive vacation in Cabo and having cocktails while sitting on the beach, when the reality is recharging means something like putting yourself into a intentional, stressful situation, maybe like running a marathon, right? It doesn't have to be a marathon, but at least it stretches you. So yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can coach somebody through that, but you've got to understand the principles of where the energy is coming from so that you know how to refill your cup.
So when you speak of lifespan on the other side of retirement, you know, there is a phenomenology about, you know, earlier death and all those kind of things after retirement and all that. And I imagine a lot of that is related to the energy and the way that they view their years now. Mm-hmm. And part of the coaching is to pursue new purpose, right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of that comes down, the purpose is driven by identity, right? And it's interesting. Recently, I was having a conversation with an individual who is about to step into retirement, and he was really struggling because so much of his purpose and so much of his identity right now is tied to the work that he does. And he loves what he does, but he's ready to retire. And so we were having a coaching conversation about this. And I said, you know, I'd love to hear from you. What do you consider to be your core four identities? And he kind of tilted his head and he's like, you know, I've really never thought about that. You know, what do you mean? And so we went through this exercise where he determined that, you know, one of his core identities was being spiritual. A core identity for him was that he was a father, and a core identity for him was that he was a giver. And as we went through this process, I was like, notice how nothing that you just talked about had anything to do with your work. Like there was no identity in there that you actually stated that had something connected to your work. And so when he had that like aha moment, I'm not actually going to lose who I am, he was then able to look at what is my new purpose. It's been to be this, you know, amazing employee inside of this organization who's touching many, many, many lives. But oh, my identity has those elements of like giver and, you know, someone who is out there helping others. And that's something I can continue to do. It's just going to look different than it looked previously. And so, you know, it's finding that connection, because the more we feel connected, whether it's with ourselves or the people that we love or our purpose and our passion, the more connection we create, the more that lifespan is going to entwine with that health span, so that we live longer, but we do so, you know, we don't want to get to the end of our life and have our quality of life be the thing that's really bringing us down. We want to live a long, healthy, happy life so that we can get the most out of what it is that we've been given.
So I know a good deal of what you do is teach people like myself how to step into those conversations a little bit more. And for most of the attorneys that I train, this is a skill set that is kind of ingrained in the attorney mindset because of, you know, cross-examination, that type of stuff. But there's a different edge to that type of questioning than coaching questioning. There, as I've experienced with personally, as well as with other people I've been talking to, as they've gone through this journey, there is some imposter syndrome in there. Who am I to be asking these kind of questions in this relationship? Mm-hmm. But these are questions that are not being asked for most people, and they find it incredibly valuable to have these conversations, don't they?
They really do. They really do. And, you know, I think the most important piece for anybody who's making that transition and asking some new questions, right? Going from what I consider to be the expert in the relationship, right? If on one side of the fence, you have the expert, the person that knows everything about what's going on, let's say in retirement, you know, the numbers, you've got answers. And then over here, you've got a coach who ask really powerful questions, but they know that the individual that they're working with is the expert on themselves. And so you're showing up in a very different way. You're showing up and being super curious. You are allowing the client to know how to navigate this space, and you're asking questions that are definitely a different line of questioning that are very personal, very emotional. You want to create lots of space for that individual to be able to explore what's going on in their own head, ask powerful follow-up questions. But if you're not managing your own mind as you're going through that process, that's where the imposter syndrome comes out, right? If you're thinking something like, this question is too personal, right? And then when you think that thought, your feeling is uncomfortable or uneasy. And then your actions, when you either ask the question, you ask it in a very awkward way, or you don't provide enough time for the person to answer, you do it very robotically, right? The result is going to be unfavorable. You're basically going to reinforce the idea that this is going to be awkward, or I shouldn't be asking these types of questions. But instead, if you reframe it like you just did, where you're thinking, this is the most important thing I could be doing for my client right now. This may be uncomfortable, but I can do it anyway. Or if I don't ask them this question, nobody else will. Right? Then you're reframing how you're thinking about having this conversation, which makes you feel more empowered. And when you feel more empowered, you do things like practice. You do things like watch yourself on tape as you're having conversations so that you can refine your process. You do things like show up and hold space for the other person, right? It's a totally different experience just by you shifting the way that you're thinking about having this conversation. So it's such a powerful, powerful opportunity that oftentimes gets missed because people aren't willing to explore what's going on in their own head.
You know, in terms of the expert versus the coach, I forget exactly what the construct you had there. But the one that's willing to ask questions, you know, expert this day and age and moving forward is commodity. coach is connecting, and people are craving connection. They're just are. It's we're getting pulled apart as a society, and very few people have somebody in their life that would actually ask them some of these questions. And they're the questions that bring the most value to a relationship. And I've experienced that with my clients. That some of these questions that they've never thought about before, when you show up and hold space, as you said, and ask them these questions. You see light bulbs go off. And because, especially in the pre-retirement and retirement conversation, they're full of stress, they're tired, and they're just looking to make sure that they don't have to go back to work. And not free to start designing their future. And the more, as you mentioned, the different energy levels, the more that we can help them see a great, big, beautiful future, right? Then they're going to have a greater quality of life. And if we don't pull them out of the stress of, oh my God, the market's doing this, that, and the other thing, where the experts want to go because that's where they're more comfortable behind the numbers. And I'm sure you've had this experience in coaching advisors. We spend so much time and invest so much in getting the expertise that we want to share that expertise. And the clients, one of my coaches likes to always refer to Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. That's what always comes down to when we start talking about all of this complex stuff.
It's such, I immediately think back to my first relationship with an advisor who I am now partnered in life with. But at the very first conversation that we sat down, because he's very numbers, in the almost 10 years that we've been together, he has started to shift over to this side of the fence. But when we first met, you know, it was all about me or him proving his value through the amount of information that he knew. And as a coach for financial advisors for my entire career, I was sitting there and going, you're asking me the wrong questions. You're asking me the wrong questions. I'm not feeling connected to my financial plan because I don't really trust that you know what I want to achieve in life. And I'm more interested, you know, I came to the table and I said, these are the big ideas that I want for the future. And he looked at the numbers and he's like, you need to readjust what it is that you want out of life based on what it is that you're currently making and what you've already saved. You know, this is just not possible. And I was like, no. Help me figure out how I need to up-level my life so that I can achieve the dreams that I have. Coach me when I have limiting thoughts and beliefs. Show me what I need to do to show up as a better human and help me understand how the numbers are connecting into it. And it just completely changed both how he operates as a financial advisor and what I've been able to achieve as his client along the way. So it's so life-changing to be able to make that shift.
And it also is career preserving, right? And as we go back to the expert getting commoditized, this is the one inherently human tool that sure they can have AIs that program ask questions, but there is that art of human connection, and that's what separates the winners from the ex advisors in the future.
Yeah, you know, I think about survival versus thriving, right? And as humans, our primitive brain was only designed to survive. It wasn't actually designed to thrive. And so I see when working in this industry, there are plenty of advisors that are going to be out there surviving, but the advisors that are willing to experience a growth mindset, those that are willing to become a beginner again, it's the same thing when you're looking at retirement, right? if we are going to grow and evolve, no matter where it is that we are in life, we have to be willing to try new things, be willing to fail, be willing to experiment, be willing to manage our mind, because that thriving is on the other side of a whole lot of discomfort. But you're going to experience discomfort one way or the other, either the discomfort of staying exactly the same and desiring something else, or the discomfort of growth as you are reaching that new pinnacle. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I think you said it so well with the fact that we are feeling so disconnected right now. We have never been more connected in life through all of the tools and technology that we have, but we are so disconnected, and that wanting to be part of a tribe, in relationships with other humans, in a way that feels good for us, is something we all lack. And so I just think that there's so much to be said for blending those two things together, managing your mind and creating more connections so that humans get better results in life.
So as we wrap up today, because we could talk for hours, and we'll probably have you back on and continue the conversation. So for couple of questions related the attorneys that are listening to this podcast and contemplating stepping into this role, I'm wondering if you might have some resources to share with them, and for the consumers that are listening to this that are trying to figure this next phase of their life out, is there any resource that you'd like to share with them on that side?
Absolutely. So, you know, for the advisors that are out there, we partner with advisors that are looking to add this coaching element, but aren't really necessarily sure how to do it by themselves or want to have a partner as they're going through this process. So we have tons of different resources that are available to the advisor that's looking to make this leap. For the end investor, the client, I actually just ran a 30-day retirement readiness challenge. So I would like to offer to all of your listeners the workbook that went with that 30 days, which is probably one of the most incredible things. I created it as a love letter to my mother, who is just stepping into retirement and looking to really find that new identity. You know, she's a woman who has taken care of everybody else for her entire life and has built her career to make sure that we were all taken care of, but it hasn't been that truly fulfilling opportunity. And so this next chapter for her is full of creative endeavors and so much excitement, but she didn't know how to go through that journey by herself. So I created her a 30-day roadmap. So it's questions every single day. I remember the very first day that somebody started going through it, I got an email that said, "Holy moly, the first question," and I'll tell you what the first question is in just a second, but she goes, "The first question created a 4-hour discussion with my partner, and we have never had more intimacy in our relationship than after that discussion." It took them in so many different directions. Now, here's what the question was. Rate your retirement readiness 1 to 10. Okay. It wasn't this like massive life-changing question that I thought it was, or when I wrote it, it was just a baseline to kind of create that equalizer so we know where we're starting. But yeah, for them, it created so much connection and so much intimacy. And so that just tells you this has been an amazing experience. So I'd love to offer it to all of your listeners.
I appreciate that. And we'll make a link to that in the show notes here, as well as Lindsay's contact information so that you can reach out to her and her team. So Lindsay, thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me here today and sharing some of your thoughts with my clients.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Your Financial Advocate. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of DuPont Wealth Solutions. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.